For the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For the Players, the pop culture, it's PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 6 plus years in that games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations, check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, Twitter, all our links in the description below.
If you want to join us as the conversation happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures where you can watch us record this show live. You can get in the chat, get involved. It's an awesome time. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. Now is the best time to get involved, man. PS5 is literally like 20 days away. It's actually less than 20 days away. Now is the time to get on to some PlayStation shows. But if you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. That's Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you watch us on YouTube, subscribe, give us a thumbs up, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment that pops up. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popcultures.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Now, one thing that is a little bit different, should let everybody know, we are now on SoundCloud as well. I'm giving it a little trial. I've created a For the Players SoundCloud account, Max. So for anyone that doesn't use those other platforms, I give it a go. Now, if I do that and there's like 3 downloads on Spotify, I'm going to pull it. I mean, this is complete testing bed. Just give another avenue for those that want to, consume what we do. Because right now, call to arms, as they say, we want to get out there more. We want to get this show out there more. Because as I said, now is the best time for PlayStation and for PlayStation podcasts. And we've been doing this, for 170-something episodes. And we'd love to spread the word. So we'd ask you if you'd kindly help get this show into people's ear holes. It'd be much, much appreciated. But, Max, how you been?
Yeah, not too bad, man.
What's going on?
It's been a very crazy week for me this week.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Nothing of note, nothing of excitement?
No, not really. I mean, the wife had this week off work, so I got my sleep-ins back this week. Didn't have to daddy daycare as hard. I braved Melbourne yesterday. I braved the ring of steel that they're calling the checkpoint system.
Hot.
It's a bit of a joke, in my opinion.
Would you just like cruise right through it, not even an issue?
So we stopped for about 5 minutes, and then the 10 cars in front of us just got waved through without being questioned at all. They just went straight through, and they looked at us and they said, "Can you hold up your license, please? Because we can't touch it due to COVID." And he went, "Cool." Didn't ask us any questions. No, where have you been? What are you doing? Where are you going? Just see you later. On your bike. Through you go. Seems very lax.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe it's because you didn't look like you were trying to like screw the system. Probably why. Probably the big thing.
Yeah. Like, it could have been the two massive German shepherds in the back of the car barking out the window. I mean, that could have also helped.
I'm sure it played a role, if anything.
But it was good to get out.
Mm.
It's good to get out.
Yeah, I've still not breached the regional Victoria area. Like, I've been really left Geelong in... Well, shit, forever. Not much movement here on our end. But one thing, speaking of movement, though, I have been doing some movement. So for those that I'm sure that are aware, I've been on a weight loss journey for the last X amount of time. I've been doing it since March of this year. I am a ambassador of the Man Shake, which is a weight loss help product, meal replacement shake thing. They started their Man Challenge this month, which is essentially 30 days of 10-minute exercises or more if you want to, to sort of help, you know, get things into gear a little bit, get yourself a bit thin. So I've been doing that every day this week with my dad. You know, my dad's stuck in Melbourne and he wants to be able to do something. So we FaceTime each other and we do the exercises together. They're pretty gnarly because they're 10 minutes and they kick your ass for 10 minutes. Like, my abs hurt And I didn't know I had abs. Like, it sucks. Like, right, as I'm sitting here right now, I'm just hurting deep in this region. And, like, my side, this whatever these side parts hurt, they hurt too. It's like, you know, like planks and it's a HIIT, which is high intensity interval training, which means eat dick for 20 seconds, relax. Then eat a dick again, and then relax a little bit more. But like it's awesome, and it's working. I've lost like another kilo or something this week, so and like I'm feeling thinner. That makes sense, which is nice. But that like that's not what people come here. They don't come here to be like, hey, actual physical physical entertainment. We're talking about virtual entertainment. Max, what have you been playing this week?
So this week I dove really hard into Ghost of Tsushima Legends.
Mm.
I've also been playing Squadrons.
Yes.
And I've dove back into Death Stranding.
Oof. He's kind of steamrolled through your list there. Break it down, brother. Break it down.
So I'll kick things off with Ghost of Tsushima Legends. So this game, this is coming from a person who has played like the first three missions of the actual game. Legends is ticking all the right boxes for me. It's got that. It's got a. So basically, take everything you know about Ghost of Tsushima. Take those bright, vibrant colors, those beautiful backdrops, and just throw them all in the garbage because this is dark and gritty and awesome. So this is their supernatural.
It's their Batman.
They've dove deep into the mythology behind, like the EO spirits from their culture. So there's two-player story missions that you can play cooperatively, and there's four-player essentially horde modes where you defend 3 points, and there's just waves upon waves of enemies, and you just kill them as they come.
Okay.
The story missions are quite fun. They're challenging enough to you really have to work as a team. There is matchmaking, but it does help having that voice communication because you play as ghosts. So you're playing stealthy. You want those assassinations. You want to try and take them out as silently as possible because, you know, as the single player combat in the main game, you know, it is really hard to take on multiple enemies at once. Like it is designed to be. So it's really fun. There's a lot of, they have elemental affinities. So you have to channel the moon essence and the sun essence, and then you'll do extra damage to those spirits.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to really work together to get through these stories, and then in each level there's hidden objectives. So you've got to find the demon treasure chest, and that'll give you an extra piece of loot. And you have to find the storyteller's hidden scrolls in each of the levels, and that unlocks certain things for you. And basically, once you finish a level, you get your different pieces of gear, so you can have a katana or a charm, your ghost weapons, and that like all the other games of services games, they have a gear score, and that represents what level you are. So at the moment, each individual character class, there's four to choose from. So there's the Ronin, who's like the healer, the samurai, who's like the tanky guy, and then you've got the archer and the assassin, who are your two stealth units.
Yep.
So nothing really changes between them. They can all essentially equip the same gear. A gear transfers between all of them. The only real difference is their ultimate ability. So the assassin's ultimate ability is you turn invisible, you can assassinate people easier. The Ronin can resurrect and heal any allies no matter what the distance is.
Mm-hmm.
Just a free resurrection and heal. The samurai becomes tankier and kills some enemies, and the archer, I think, gets instant headshots on enemies that are near him. So,
beautiful.
You know, it works together. And it's been so much fun. I've been playing with some friends, and it's kind of a cool, chill hangout game where you can kind of have some fun with it, muck around, be like, you know, I'll assassinate the guy on the right, you take the one on the left, and then sometimes there's some weird jank where you lock onto the wrong dude and you both kill the same guy, and then you just get wrecked by all the other enemies in the area. But it's been super fun. I've now finished all of the co-op story missions. So now I am just gearing up, ready for that raid launch next weekend.
Nice. So when you say dark and gritty and demons, and like that gives me a lot of Neo vibes. Does it look like Neo?
It does actually kind of... it does kind of actually look like Neo. So where the main story was, it was kind of bright and colorful and vibrant, Most of these levels take place in the nighttime. It's all stormy. There's lots of dark reds, purples, greens, blue. They're very dark colors. There's no... almost every single level is in the nighttime. It's a very big change of scenery.
Okay.
But it works well. It works super well for the story that they're telling, because obviously, you know, you're literally fighting spirits and demons and possessed Mongols in these story missions.
Fantastic. That sounds great.
It's made me want to play the main campaign. It sucked me back in real hard.
So as I've said on this show, like Ghost of Tsushima really didn't grab onto me personally. Mm. I got through the first island, pretty much cleared the entire first island. Maybe that's why I burnt myself out going too hard, clearing everything. But it's not for me. So the Legends is certainly on that same scale of I'm probably not going to go check it out. But a game that I did really love, though, was Death Stranding. You mentioned you've been playing Death Stranding. Are you playing it again on PS4?
No. So I now have it on PC, because when I first played it, I played it on PlayStation 4, and I have a standard PS4. So no 4K, no HDR, no nothing fancy. So I wanted to see how good this game could look, so I got it on PC. I'm currently playing it in 4K HDR, and it is gorgeous.
Yeah, I imagine it would.
What they got out of the Decima engine is absolutely fantastic.
Well, now the big advantage of the game is because the scape is relatively large and empty, and you know that allows that high visual fidelity where it counts. It's in the same way that like Supermassive with Until Dawn can really nail certain aspects of it, because when you limit that freedom, they don't have to create an open world like the scale of Horizon or something. You know, they can scale it down. Like, all right, well, it's mostly just hills and shit. So let's just make these key parts look fantastic.
So, and obviously, you know, it was my game of year.
Same.
For last year. Last year? Yeah, last year.
Last year.
It was just, so it's been, it's hit me in the feels again.
You cried,
so I'm not too,
you
I'm
cried
not
again
too
this
through.
Time?
Not yet. I haven't gotten to that part yet. I have to plug in a controller though, because the keyboard and mouse controls are like ridiculous.
Oh,
so you know how the triggers basically did your left right balance.
Oh yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
So for PC, it's left click, right click.
The big difference was using the. Because it's not it's a button, not an on-off sort of finite. It's like it's a slow with the triggers. You don't really get to have that on a keyboard.
Mm.
Why's my nose?
So it uses the mouse buttons instead of the triggers. It's really weird.
Mm.
And then lastly, Squadrons. So I dove into it. I've played the first 2 to 3 story missions. I haven't tried it out in VR yet. Unfortunately, I've had a horrendous migraine for the last couple of days, and the last thing I wanted to do was get in VR.
Yeah.
But hopefully I'll play some this afternoon in VR. This game, having played it before on both PC and PS4 now, I feel that this game was designed to be played in VR.
Yeah.
I think VR will lend itself quite well to how the game plays. It makes it easier to be able to look around. It's very... Having the freedom of movement of your own head to be able to look around would be much easier in dogfights than trying to flick a control stick around whilst steering and throttling and all that stuff. So I very much look... Because you dove into it earlier this week.
Yeah, so we should disclose as well, the code for this was provided to us by EA Australia. Big thank you to them. It's the first time we've actually worked with them, so it was a great place to start, I think. One of the things that when I reached out was like, being a PlayStation show, for us it's important to try big standout PSVR games. And this was certainly on that list. So on Wednesday night, I jumped on stream with it and I played it for about 2.5 hours, and I played it for a little bit after the stream. It's fantastic in VR, man. Like, it is unquestionably built for VR. So my wife has come and bought me tissues, because the second I get in this room and close the door... And what's going on?
I mean, I think we've both said it before, but the Star Wars license just lends itself perfectly to being a VR title, whether it be akin to that of Vader Immortal and Squadrons. They just, even that first VR mission that they tested out in Battlefront, you know.
Yeah, the X-Wing
the
one.
The IP itself is just, because everyone wants to live Star Wars. You know, you want to be flying those, you want to be piloting those X-Wings and you know, destroying the rebel scum.
Like, so it hits in a couple of different ways. Like, this is why Star Wars is such a great VR. Because Star Wars as a universe is full of awe and wonder, right? And then a lot of it's connected to your childhood. So for me specifically, I grew up on Star Wars. So being able to do Star Wars-y things in VR, it's like living my childhood dream. It's like this. We discussed it with a Jedi Vader Immortal review. It's when I'm in there and I've got my lightsaber and I'm swinging it around, I'm hitting things. I'm like, I'm childlike glee. My chest is fluttering and I'm all like, oh my God. And that's exactly what happened here. Except here I'm like, I'm in a VX-Wing or I'm in a TIE Fighter. You know, and it's awesome because it's fantastic. Now, the game itself is relatively simple in terms of its premise. It's dogfights in space, but either you're in the entire fighter or an X-Wing, but you can also, you know, do a Y-Wing and all that sort of stuff. So there's a quite little spread of ships. But it is 100% built for VR, unquestionably. So I did try to play it after in standard, and I died in seconds, man. Like, I had no sense of my surroundings at all. As someone that gets quite strong motion sickness, I was a little hesitant about doing the VR. I was a bit worried. However, once I got in there and I got over that initial sort of like
VR legs. Does it help that it's a seated experience with a controller using the Move controllers?
I would say so, but once again, it wouldn't really make sense because you weren't able to really actively get throttles and whatnot. So even though you're holding the controller in front of you like this and the game has the X-Wing like this and, you know, the TIE Fighter's a bit different once again, but there's still you can still get lost in that in the game, right? So as I'm, you know, sweeping around, like, you know, dodging big ships, I'm kind of looking over here, looking where I'm going to be rather than where I am. So it actually makes me feel less sick because it's rather than standing forward and turning, I'm literally turning into something, which is brilliant. And for some reason, I couldn't nail that out of VR. I found that the X-Wing delivered a less vom-inducing experience than the TIE Fighter. And I reason that being because the TIE Fighter has that big window in front and you look up and it's just nothing, where the X-Wing has the big open top so you can kind of see up and around you. But it looks stunning as well. For a VR game, it is beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And like, you don't, like, that doesn't happen often in VR. You know what I mean? Like, even Vader Immortal had like some sketchy moments. And we played like Iron Man recently as well, and that kind of looked garbage comparatively. Like, it's not looking good, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're here. Yeah. This looks fantastic. Character models look brilliant. So when you get all up in their shit, when you're at the back at your hangar, it's like, man, they look so cool. I'm really enjoying it. Really, really enjoying it. And on top of that, like, there's a level of customizations as well. So it's they are mostly cosmetically. You can change what the paint job of your X-Wing is. You can change things in the cockpit, so you can have little dangly thingies, little like trinkets. I was looking through them and I found a pod racer. I'm like, yep, because I still want a VR pod racing game. People want pod racing, but I want it.
So have you played the online multiplayer yet?
No, I have not. Because I'm sure I'd get monstered.
Have you gone into a big dog fight?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Have you?
No, not yet.
Yeah. I'm sure I'd get monstered. So I've only played the story so far.
I would like to learn how to fly before,
before I
dive in.
Yeah, so the one thing I'm really, really good at is flying at something and then trying to pull up at the last minute, just whacking the ass of my X-Wing off it and just like eating shit and just destroying it. So I will have to get better before I get into the big online multiplayer dogfights. But no, it is certainly on that list for me of games that you must try if you have VR. So if people come, when people are allowed at my house and it's not weird to strap something to their face, I'll probably be like, hey, you gotta try Squadrons. Because it's cool. It's so awesome. It's such a good feeling. Yeah. But yes, I've been playing that as well, and I've been really, really, really enjoying it. On top of that, what else have I been playing? Because that's the three things that you mentioned, yeah?
Yeah, pretty much.
I've pushed through a bit more of Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time. I'm into the third or fourth one. I'm right up to where Dingo Dial gets involved. Yep. As I said last week, the hurdle that I'm having is I want to try push through the game the best I can. However, the nature of which I've always played Crash Bandicoot is overpowering me in the idea that I must get all the boxes. I'm like, but the game is, at the moment, it's designed for me to not get all the boxes. It wants me to come back, but I'm like, you got to get all the boxes. And I can't get that disconnect between...
One of the earlier levels, I think it's like one of the first levels in the second world, it's the first world where you can get a colored gem.
Mm-hmm.
To get that colored gem, you have to finish the level without dying and collecting any boxes. You have to actively not collect any boxes to get the gem.
When including checkpoints?
Yeah.
Oof. Nah, it's roughy. Can't do that one. But yes, I'm still trudging my way through that. I'm getting angry at it, which is fun.
Oh yeah, I know that feeling.
But thankfully, I'm not rage inducing at it, which is pretty good.
I'm not gonna lie, I almost broke a controller on like one of the last levels. I was getting so angry.
I did almost break a controller this week, but it wasn't on Crash Bandicoot. It was on Doom. So this week's
You have one of those stupid guys that just don't die ever.
No.
What are they called? The Marauders.
You can get the Marauders. Once you work out the pattern of the Marauders, you can kind of have a good time. But anyway, this week saw the release of the single player DLC for Doom Eternal, which was the Ancient Gods. Now we were provided this copy earlier in the year, which was the deluxe edition that came with the game and the season pass. So big thank you to Bethesda Australia. Yes, we're able to dive into this. I was, and I think you can as well. Yep. If you haven't played this game since like March when it came out, like we did, I got my ass kicked because the first mission of this DLC is like, here, have all the enemies we've ever released on Doom Eternal, all of them, eat a dick. And then you just have to completely re-immerse yourself in the inertia, in the momentum, and just everything about it. Like you just kind of forget, like even took me a while to remember what button was, you know, change weapons, and then forgetting that you can't look down the scope. It's just, you know, like there's a secondary, and you got to remember that some enemies are weak to some weapons and some aren't, you know, some are, you know, strong against certain weapons. And it was stressing me out. I'm like, ugh! And I couldn't get it. It was bumming me. But now I have, like, there's only three missions in the DLC, but they are quite long and extensive missions with completely new areas. So there is a story to it as well. You're essentially continuing the story of the battle versus demons and everything. So you have to go and seek out a seraphim, which is like he's one of the makers, which I remember from my recollection of Dogma. A seraphim is a choir of angels. So there's a cool little imagery and sort of name theology there. So you got to do that. And then you got to go fucking find the Allfather or something. And you just go and shoot things. It's essentially a story just to go take you to new locations to shoot shit. But I dig it. Like, the Doom Eternal story itself wasn't very strong, but it was strong enough to keep you moving forward, and I'm feeling the same thing here. And now that I'm starting to get back in that inertia, I'm enjoying it a lot more again. And, like, the new levels are great. Like, you still get the same mix of... you know, arena combat mixed with, you know, traversal with the new swing and grabbing mechanics and stuff like that. You know, you're constantly doing that ammo management when it comes to now there being a stack more enemies of varying types. Like you start using your little sniper rifle, assault rifle thing, and then you run out of ammo, so you got to quickly find someone that you can chainsaw to get that back because you know that'll take out the tail of that brain fuck. You know what I mean? It's that all management and planning that has you thinking on the fly, which you normally, you know, what I found with Doom 2016 was I was like, I'm just going to shotgun everything. We're here, it's continuing that idea of thinking on the fly and adapting how you play and thinking about the right tool for the right job rather than just getting the job done. But yeah, no, it's pretty cool. So I'm about halfway through the second mission, so I guess about halfway through, and even then, that's taken me the better part of 3 hours, 3 and a bit hours. So I reckon you probably get like six, seven hours out of it, depending on whether you're garbage like me. Maybe you can tear through it if you're doing pretty well, but there's that. What else have I played this week? Oh, I tried The Order 1886, because one thing I want to do in a couple of weeks, and for those of you watching and get involved in the show, we want to hear you guys' thoughts as well. I want to do a definitive list of the best games of the PS4's first parties. So we'll make a list of all the first party releases from day one of the PS4 to the day last of the PS4, and we'll rank them accordingly. So the one that I really hadn't played was The Order 1886 or Killzone Shadowfall. So they're the two I'm going to probably try get in within the next couple of weeks if I can. Depending, you know, with Watch Dogs.
I also haven't played The Order.
It's like $12 in the Halloween sale right now, and
yeah,
it's not too bad. It, like, it's fine. It's visually amazing, especially for like X amount of years ago. It's a bit slow and trudging at the moment, but I'm hoping that it picks back up a little bit, because I know there are some action-y moments later, and it isn't very long. Killzone, the one that's going to kill me, it's like 12 hours long. I'm like, ugh. But other than that, I pretty much, just through the nature of doing this show, I've been able to play almost every other first-party title. So I'm very cool to see what that list would be, and then if we get some of the viewers, some of the audience involved, it'd be cool to have that definitive list of the Popsies, PS4 first party ultimate list thing. I think of a better name, I'm sure.
I hope so.
Yeah, and then today, I can't talk a lot about it because it is still embargoed for a little while, but there's preview thoughts. It's a game called Sukuna of Rice and Ruin. Now, I got a lovely message from our friend Kat, who is working for Turn Left Distribution. She's the PR management person there. She sends me an email and goes, "Hey, you want to check out this game?" I'm like, "Oh, I'll give it a Google." And it's a side-scrolling platformer farming game. And I'm like, "God damn it, Kat, you know me so well. God damn, you know me. You get me." Yes, I've been playing that. Not a whole lot of it. Just played a little bit before this. So yeah, it is. It's a side scroller platforming thing. So there's a lot of it's very simple in its premise of light and heavy attacks mixed with traversal. And then when you're all done, you return back to your little homestead and you plant rice and you grow rice. And what game is this? It's Sukuna of Rice and Ruin is the name. So Sakuna of Rice and Ruin. Sorry, we had Flashy in the chat ask what the game was called. Yeah, so once you do all the side-scrolling punchy things, you kill all the animals, gather a bunch of resources, go back, help feed your friends, help grow your rice, and then you push on again to another location to clear out what you need and come back. And just a little bit grindy, which is fun, you know, if that's what you want to do, if you really like the sort of side-scroller stuff. So as you sort of progress, you kind of gain new skills, like how to hit rocks and other walls to break down walls and stuff like that. Yeah, so I'm really early days in it. Weeby as shit, might I add. Like, it's full of Japanese-y things. Even the art style is, although brilliant, very anime-driven. You know how I always poo-poo on sort of those mid-tier Japanese games, like, I guess like Fairy Tale, they kind of look like a subpar version of the anime.
Yeah.
This game actually looks remarkable. Like, what this is, Sukuna, this is what games that should look like in this anime style. Because it, like, although it's in third, it's, although the characters are 3D modeled, it doesn't look rough 3D models. Like, yeah, doesn't look really shitty polygonal stuff. Like, this looks well detailed, and it's great. Now, like, granted, you know, there's, I've said, early days, it could all go poo later on, but initial impressions, it looks awesome, it looks stunning, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm really kind of getting the grip on it, and I was a little disappointed that I had to stop playing to record this show today. I was like, oh, I'm just starting to get the motion, like my rice is coming along, you know. But yeah, I'll have more things to say over the coming weeks, which would be awesome. We've got a nice bit of lead time before it all comes out. So we have a lot to say about that. But anyway, that's enough about what we've been playing, Max. Let's get into the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you guys at home what happened this week in PlayStation.
All right, guys, let's talk some PS5 news to kick things off. So for those of you who have been on the internet this morning, PS5s have been released into the wild. So there's lots of US-based media outlets have taken to Twitter to show off their shiny new PlayStation 5 boxes. Lots of them with comparison shots, some showing their Vita box in front of their PS5 box, some showing their PS4s in front of their PS5s. Man, they're real big, aren't they?
Yeah, so none of them are taking them out of the box. All the pictures I've seen so far are in box. So I've seen the likes of... so there's a short list of the I know that have it, like... IGN have it. Kind of Funny have one. They have Polygon, TechRadar, Austin guy from Austin. I don't know. Hey there. Hey, guys. It's Austin. I don't know what his last name is. Knowles, I think. I don't know. He's got one. Yeah, Jeff Keighley's got one. I think I already mentioned him.
Yeah, the What's Good Games ladies.
Yeah, so it's a situation of the reason you can't get a pre-order is because they just gave them out to all the press and media, all right? as of right now, I don't believe anyone in Australia has one. Mm. I've done some poking around. I've asked some friends and stuff like that.
They're all stuck on a boat somewhere.
Yeah, it's a situation of the people that are getting them are knowing that they're getting them, but they don't know when.
Yeah.
It's my understanding. And even then, I couldn't fucking tell you who actually has one, who's in the line for one. But yeah, sadly, they're not here yet. No Australian outlet has got one. You know, as much as we'd love to, we ain't on that fucking list, let me tell you. No, we are in no way placed to be on that list. So you know when we're going to get one, Max? At EB Games at 8 or 9 o'clock on the 12th. That's it for us. We would love to.
No, man. Regional Victoria's not in lockdown anymore. We're getting ours at midnight.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I got 2 days off. I took the Thursday, Friday off. Bam.
I've got the Thursday, Friday and the whole next week off.
Ooh, I didn't go that hard, but I might, you know what I mean? Like,
I found out, I realized that I had 100 hours of leave and they're kind of like,
damn.
Can you take some leave?
Yeah, so I'm like, I don't know, like 18 days or something of leave banked up.
Yeah, so I've got like 5 weeks.
Jesus, that is a lot of leave. Like, hey, you're like, fine, I'll go play PlayStation for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so the main thing is, now that people have got essentially hands-on, hopefully that means we will get some more information soon. I would imagine that there's massive, these are the things that you can and can't say. These are the dates that you can and can't say them.
Yeah, there's
so hopefully there's this little trickle feed of information from now until release, and we get some more juicy information.
Yeah, so a lot of places haven't done like unboxings or anything yet where they're allowed to. Maybe there's certain people that only can. As I mentioned, that Austin dude whose name I can never effing remember. Like, I know he did an unboxing of the controller, sort of showcasing the finer detail. So the grippy texture on the back, as an example, are small sacred symbols, man. Like, you know how much I have a hard on for those things. It's there and it's there. And like, that's amazing. For me, that literally gets me moist. I'm like, ooh. It's these little fine details. It's like on the bottom of the PS4 where like the little pads that hold it are the sacred symbols as well.
All we really want to know is, will it take off once you turn it on?
Oh.
We just want to know how quiet the thing runs.
See, but that's the thing. Like, that can be fixed. Like, you know, I was talking to Dash about this recently, and like, we were playing the Call of Duty beta for Black Ops, Cold War, whatever it's called. Yeah. I couldn't hear it. Mine was running smooth, but I could hear Dash's through our voice chat. But that's because I recently pulled mine apart, and thanks to my good friend Ethan over at Tag Mods. Go check out Tag Mods, by the way, if you want to see some cool console. Hopefully we can do some cool shit with the PS5. Because he re-thermoed it and cleaned the fuck out, it runs quiet. So so everyone that's like, oh, it's too loud, just pull it apart. I know you shouldn't because it avoids warranty, but just clean it out. The answer is clean it out.
So that was another thing that came out either late last week or earlier this week. The PlayStation 5 will take data on the games that you're playing and how well they're running. And then it's actually going to... they're going to fix how often the fan runs depending on how power intensive each game is that you're playing via online patches.
See, the thing that the only question I have around this, right? Like, I was pretty confident the fans don't work in an on-off capacity, right? It's not like fans on, boo, or fans off. Yeah, I mean, like, my understanding, it does work on a slider. That's like, well, we don't need to go that hard. We'll give it like 75% power. We'll give it 20% power. So essentially, they're just confirming that the games will be like the fans themselves will be smarter.
Yeah,
is my guess.
Mm.
Which is cool. Which is handy. Like, if that means it's not going to go bonkers all the time, mad. Unless it's a situation of it either goes harder or it goes not slow. You mean? Dash also adds it's not based on the power, it's based on the GPU and CPU temps, which makes sense. And once, like, if it's getting hot in there, it should fucking kick in a gear, is the plan, right? It's what you'd hope.
So you mentioned you mentioned customizing your PlayStation, Ryan.
Yeah, brother.
So a website has recently gone online called PlateStation 5.
Yeah, what a name.
So PlateStation 5 is a website offering alternate colored faceplates for your PS5. So if you're not a fan of the white casing, you can go and select a few different options. Shown off on their website are colors, are red, blue, camo, chrome, and of course black. They are available in both standard edition and digital edition sizes, because obviously one is bigger than the other, not having that disk drive bump. The cost of faceplates are currently set at a $40 USD price tag, and there are no guarantees that Sony will offer official variations as yet. Nothing has been announced.
Yeah, so...
But with how easy they showed how easy they are to take on and put take off and put back on, you would imagine that Sony will release some licensed
faces. Well, you'd hope so. And plus, like, on the conversion of these is not too bad. Like, friend of the show, Kieran from Well Played, he has picked one up. I think he says, like, $57 for black. I'm like, oh, I could afford that. I'm thinking, even if I order the black just so I can fuck with it and not fuck with, and, like, not ruin the originals, like, that would be probably the other best bet, right? You know, like buy a blue, buy the camo one and then spray paint it. I don't know. Are you interested in buying new side plates, Max?
Yeah, if it had the right license, like I mentioned to you last week, I think I would really like a Demon Souls themed PlayStation 5.
That'd be pretty cool. Hey, Ethan.
Earlier this week, they also took to Twitter to share that Share Factory Studio on PlayStation 5 will support 4K and HDR video editing. So the product listing for Share Factory Studio has emerged on Twitter, including some more information on what we can expect from the PlayStation 5 video editing app. The blurb mentions that you'll be able to create video in 4K with HDR and also sorts of post-processing effects. It also suggests that you'll be able to customize screenshots to, quote, create your own unique memes.
The memes.
And a new data there's a new data transfer protocol which will allow you to import videos, images, music, and sound effects from a USB storage device.
I know you had me. Making the memes. Like I'm a 30-year-old man, Max. I don't understand memes. If this application can help me understand them, then.
I mean, how else are you going to edit your trick shot montages?
That's true.
When Call of Duty comes out.
Have you ever used Share Factory?
Yeah, once. It was rough.
Yeah, I think I tried once and I was like, oh, this is hard. So I just pulled the footage and edited it on my computer.
Yep. Yeah. But it looks like they're putting a lot of effort into it this time around. And the fact that you can now import your own videos, images, and music from a USB to add your own background music and whatnot.
Yeah, so add like
front, it seems pretty cool.
Intros and outros
so,
and stuff.
So as soon as you upload it, you can get DMCA'd. Like,
weird.
Like a lot of poor Twitch people did this week.
Oh man, on a side note, there's that upcoming, I saw this on Twitter as well, the upcoming game from Harmonix, Fuser, which is essentially like a DJ-based game using licensed music. No one can stream that game. They get fucked.
You can't stream Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. On the new Tony Hawk's game, because it's all licensed music. It's all getting copy struck.
Fucking world are we living in?
It's a nightmare.
It's balls.
Can't play Guitar Hero or Rock Band.
Oh, God damn it. Harmonix are fucking fucked. Puck says fucking lawyers. But yeah, adding to that, there does seem to be a bigger approach to sharing directly from the console on with the PS5, which we saw with the UI last week, sort of the integration and the quote-unquote ease of uploading screenshots, etc. And that's the one thing, like, I've wanted to, but I didn't find it simple on the PS4. So instead, I'd end up pulling... I would avoid posting screenshots because I'm like, oh, well, I've got to move it and put it on a USB and then go to my computer and pull... But we're here. If I can just go bing, 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 or, you know, like, if it's a streamlined process, because that's the future of games, man. It's sharing. It's that internet stuff.
Even us, we share when we get credits on a game And lately, it's much faster to whip out your phone, take a photo, and send it than what it is to...
Yeah, because the one thing that your foes don't know, like, yeah, one of the things that both Max and I do is, you know, we try to get as many credits as we can within the year because, you know, we're not very... Both being family dudes, we have kids and partners and stuff. We don't really have the time to throw into trophies or plats. So for us, rather than just trying to like, hey, we got a platinum, it's did you get credits? Did you see the game through? So to keep ourselves accountable, we post that stuff on socials or we message it to each other. So normally it's just me going, here you go, Max.
Yeah.
You know, because it's easier to take a photo of that than try and upload it to social media. Puck adds in the chat, so that's the Reverend Puck. He goes, the thing is, you can stream it since some of these games have streaming licenses, especially from Harmonix. You just don't get to have VODs unless that's changed. I remember Harmonix changing their licensing system to allow for streaming games.
Okay.
Also, thank you for the host there by Willow. The issue here, VODs is important, but may not get hit as you're streaming. However, it was also announced this week that Cyberpunk is using music made solely for Cyberpunk. So you won't get claimed, you won't get DMCA claims for the music as you drive around the city, except from Cyberpunk themselves, I presume. Like, they're like, hey, we didn't use this song from Rage Against the Machine, like Tony Hawk. It's like, here's a brand new song composed for Cyberpunk. Only we can strike you.
I feel that they announced that because they're saying that they're not going to copy strike people for uploading gameplay.
Yeah.
I think that's more of a, hey guys, you're safe to stream and do whatever you want because it's all Gucci. We made everything.
Yeah. That game's like 3 weeks away, man. Not even.
Yeah, I'm so keen.
Isn't that exciting? Oh, I noticed.
As I sit here stroking my Cyberpunk jet.
Yeah, I'm sorry if you're like, yeah, I'm not invested.
Yeah. I'll play it when I play it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'll probably get to it in 2021, I suppose. All right.
I'll just wait for the PS5 upgrade.
Speaking of PS5 upgrades, let's talk PSVR. As we discussed last week, Sony is still yet to confirm or officially disclose how we'll get access to the PS4 camera adapter, which is required for anyone to use PSVR on the PS5. But it looks like the company's making preparations for new hardware purchases. Over in Japan, a couple of new PSVR bundles will ship with the required equipment to hook up to Sony's next-gen console, saving some headaches in the process. However, both these packs will be available in Japan only from the 29th of October, and there is still no word about these bundles appearing anywhere else.
I know, right? I really want to know how soon I can play VR.
Because, like, for me, I ideally want to make that transition. You know what I mean? I want to be like, and PS5's done. PS5 time. Woo, get ready. And then my PS4, you know, may be used occasionally if there's anything that comes up that isn't on PS5. But, you know, for the games that I purchase, for the games that we request for review through our various partners or our various peoples that we deal with, for free. We don't charge $300, just saying. That's an joke. I want to make that transition. And if I have to... my VR already just sits on a shelf gathering dust, right? Now, if I literally cannot use it on my console, the new console that I have, it's just going to gather more dust. Like, I use VR sparingly as it is. To add back to our DMCA, Willow has the theory. To be honest, I think that the DMCA thing going on with Twitch is a ploy to get people to use the soundtrack app that Twitch has made for copyright-free music. Ah. So Twitch is being a sneaky snake.
I think the biggest thing is that Twitch just went, yeah, we deleted all your VODs. Consider this a warning. They didn't even give you a chance to, like...
See, but what's gnarly...
Counterclaim or say that, no, it's not, or do anything. They just, you know, lots of streamers lost like 8 years worth of their work just gone because...
What baffles me is I know there are channels that I watch even because they're awesome, where they just straight up stream music, like DJ sets and stuff. They don't get hit. They don't get takedowns. They still get subs and bits and whatever, and they're surviving. Those channels are still up and operating. The discrepancy here is, which is always a problem with Twitch, is the discrepancy between what one person's doing and what another person's doing is horrendous. There are very clear rules for some and very clear rules for others, and it's a little bit bull. Like, an example, at the start of this stream, whenever I stream here, there is a little bit of music that I play at the start. It's called Monkey Spinning Monkeys. It's this kind of like lighthearted little fiddly tune, right? We got struck for it from someone that doesn't, like, they essentially made a video on YouTube that is a series of free samples, which is what, Monkeys Spinning Monkeys, is a free sample that's available and you can use it wherever you want. They've created a video of collated free samples and they're using that to claim. So, of course, I contested that fucking thing. I'm like, no, this music is freely available. Fuck off. And, like, that's the bullshit, right? And regardless of, like, actual, you know, record labels and all that doing that same level of dirty things, you know what I mean? This is a little bit different, right? Anyway, VR. I want that dongle. Where the hell's the dongle? Like, I understand it's supposed to be free. There's no discussion on how it's going to be free, like what we need to do to be able to apply for this. Same as your Astro thing, which comes out this week, I believe.
Yeah, it's interesting that they're not just pre-packaging them in the box. Like, well, they know that people need them.
I imagine... Oh, you mean in the PS5 box?
Yeah, in the PS5 box. Like, why are they not just in there? People need them. You're going to give them away for free. Why not just package it in the box?
Yeah, but why make 10... Because if they're presumably manufacturing 10 million PS5s, right? And then what's the install base of the VR? Like 2, 3 million? That's 7 sure. million unnecessarily made dongles.
Sure, but it's not... You know, some people have the camera that don't have VR. And like to use that camera, you need that dongle.
Mm. But if those that care so much about, because the VR, the camera is kind of trash. So yeah, ideally, if they don't use it for VR, they would upgrade to the new camera.
Mm. Who knows?
We'll find out eventually. Because I want it. I need it.
I want it. But yeah, as you mentioned, like, you know, I have an Astro headset. I need to buy this media pass through thing.
Is there more about it? Isn't it coming this week? Some of that?
But apparently it was supposed to come out at the end of October, so hopefully I can find that, and then I've got to hunt down my product box so I can claim my small discount on it, and then hopefully I can get it from a local retailer, because last time I tried to buy a replacement cable from Astro, they only offered USPS next day delivery. It was going to cost me $100 to ship a $4 cable.
Can't you eBay or Amazon that shit?
Yeah, that's what I ended up doing.
Yeah. Good call.
All right. Next up, let's talk some Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Man, what I love about Valhalla right now is a couple of weeks ago, not even like a month ago, you and I were like, yeah, wait and see. We've talked about it every goddamn week. I'm actually getting so keen for this game.
Yeah,
I know. It's awesome.
So earlier this week, Ubisoft announced their future plans for Assassin's Creed Valhalla. The upcoming title will receive two massive expansions in 2021 as part of the game's season pass. The first is titled Wrath of the Druids, and it's aiming for a spring 2021 release.
So autumn
for us, yep. So Wrath of the Druids will take place in Ireland, where you'll be tasked with hunting down cultists. So it sounds supernatural in nature, which is really ticking my box.
Mm-hmm.
The second DLC is set to launch in the summer of 2021, so our winter, titled The Siege of Paris. And it will be Valhalla's take on the infamous Viking siege of the French capital.
Yeah.
This DLC will apparently feature new gameplay activities as well as huge battles. And any season pass owners will also receive the exclusive bonus quest titled The Legend of Beowulf, which will be available at game's launch next month. On the 10th of November, I believe.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Get excited. That's a lot.
Yeah.
No, because like, if you look back at Odyssey and even Origins, like their DLC was pretty substantial. You know, even though the game itself was pretty huge and like endless by all accounts. It's great that they're continuing that with that idea of giving you more and more. Now, hopefully, it's not all like, you know, the game itself is not all RPG level gated that they've been doing previously, but it's very likely.
Yeah, it's also nice to know what you're getting into if you do buy the season pass.
So credit to them. So previously it's season passes and you'll get, I don't know, some shit in the future. Where here it's like, no, we've got two things that, you know, they're like, this is what it is, and this is what it is over here. Now, granted, Ubisoft aren't the only people to do that. Most places will tend to give you, or at least a rough understanding of what it's going to be and what it's going to become. Like, I'm pretty sure even Fallout 76, their roadmap was pretty straightforward. They're like, we're going to hit this and this and this. But then it just never happened, or it was so shitty, no one cared. You know, so, yeah. If anything, to their credit, like, I may have to buy one with a season pass. That's how they sucker me to get the $150 version or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Bet
it's... Nah, it's probably $180 now.
Oh,
now that games are $125, we're probably looking at $180
for it. That's so fucking scary.
No, Ryan. What's scary is Kojima Productions.
No, I'm gonna jump over here and keep the Ubisoft chat going.
Ubisoft
announced this week in a buried Ubisoft Connect announcement. The French publisher has announced that all future releases will support cross progression, meaning that your saved data will be available on whatever platform you choose to play on. So that means if you're playing on your PS4, suddenly your save's on the Xbox, or it's on the PC, or whatever other platform they happen to be popping up on. Curiously, this function will not begin with Watch Dogs Legion, which is out next week, but Assassin's Creed Valhalla, as well as Immortals Fenyx Rising, and Riders Republic, they will be the ones that support it. Quote, cross progression is a feature that allows you to carry on your save data from one platform to the next, the company explained. All your game progression is saved within the Ubisoft Connect, so you won't lose a step if you challenge consoles or switch to PC. So by the sounds of it, Ubisoft Connect is a...
So it's their new Uplay
cloud. Yeah, it's a cloud platform system. Uplay. Which you do connect to Uplay when you log into any Ubisoft game at the moment. So that's how you gain all those little credits and things you can redeem for skins. So it looks as if they're integrating some saves into that, some cloud storage, so you can bring your saves to other platforms. Brilliant. Absolutely
good idea.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Like, that is the future of games, man. Like, it's not about, you know, where you play it, even though being a PlayStation show, we spit in the face of that. But, you know, like, if you want to take it to the... Like, if you... Maybe you don't have a... You ever don't have a PC right now. Or you're jumping from PS4 and you want to go to Xbox. You can. Like, when it comes to big third-party games like this, this is 100% a smart move. Because people will, you know, go across platforms or jump here, jump there. And, you know, there's no need for third-party games to be locked to a console.
I was looking for a good segue into this, but I can't think of one. Going back to what I was talking about before, Kojima Productions, according to their official Twitter, they have confirmed a new project is in development, and they are currently looking to hire talent to work out of the Tokyo studio. Kojima Productions is currently looking for programmers, game designers, writers, artists, and more.
So everything.
Big recruiting drive to work with Kojima. What are they making? Are we getting that Silent Hill? Are we getting that rumored Silent Hill? Have they stolen it from Konami? Are we getting a Death Stranding 2? Are we getting some other bizarre story that Kojima concocts in his mind?
I don't know. Like, this is the situation. Like, that whole rumored mill with the Silent Hills, that seemed to eventuate into nothing, which is a real bummer. You know, because there was that whole idea of the remake as well as creating Silent Hills. I think the turmoil and the pain, I would presume here from Konami and Kojima, he's probably unlikely to want to go down that route again. Yeah, I mean, because at the situation right now is Konami still own the IP. They own the IP for Metal Gear. They own the IP for Silent Hill. Unless they sell that to Sony, which from all those rumored accounts, it was licensed.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. If anything, I don't think we're going to get a Death Stranding 2, Strand Harder, or Strand with a Vengeance. Who knows? Maybe something brand new. But it's very similar to Death Stranding. You won't know until it's literally in your hands. Because even for Death Stranding, we're like, what the fuck is this game? And then we played it and went, this game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you hope, I presume you hope it's Silent Hill?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know what I would want from a Kojima Productions game. I just have, I'm one of those people who's like, I like the weirdness that he comes up with. And I think whatever it is, I'll be down to play it.
Yeah, because like even I randomly get in these kicks, be like, oh, I might go back and play this game. I don't even play the games that I have or the ones that are coming out. I'm like, I'm gonna go back and play this game.
Because
like I would like to play Metal Gear 4 again because that game was awesome and weird.
Because we had this big discussion last year over are we Silent Hill fans, are we Metal Gear fans, or are we actually Kojima fans? And I have a feeling that I'm a Kojima fan.
After Death Stranding, I like his unique weird shit.
I want him to make short movies, maybe a TV series or two.
Yeah. Well, that would be the next thing, because I think he essentially wants to be a movie guy, but I think he likes the medium of games. Because you can do a bit more with it.
He likes to just hang out with movie stars.
Let's do that, but in this way, because I imagine him trying to make movies based around Metal Gear, based around Death Stranding, whatever fucking weird idea he has. Like, the cost to make that game and that movie would be insane. But then again, he just do it and spend the same amount of money on a video game, apparently. So there's that too. But that is a real big question. We've been asking that question a lot of times last year. Where do we sit on the fan? Is it he that we are a fan of, or is it we are a fan of the franchises specifically that he makes? Like, you know, I haven't played Zone of the Enders. I don't even know whether I like it. I don't really like, you know, Gundam big mech style things. So I don't know whether I'd like it. But Metal Gear is brilliant. Death Stranding is brilliant. You know, his take on Silent Hill was brilliant with the demo, which apparently you can't bring to PS5 no matter what.
That's later in the news.
Pardon?
That's later in the news. Oh, stop giving it away.
You know, so there's that. Like, yeah, as I said, he just needs to make the jump to movies.
Yeah.
But if he's not going to, at least make some cool games. Speaking of movies, though, Max, this week we finally saw some shit about the Uncharted film. The long delayed, long awaited, long curious car crash in motion, the Uncharted film. Things with the Uncharted movie have been rough, as I mentioned, but thanks to a photo this week, we got to see Tom Holland in costume. And he is wearing a similar outfit to that of Nathan in Uncharted Drake's Fortune. So he's even wearing the sick Pavnus Magna ring around his neck. So he's got that cream, like, long shirt on with, like, the khaki pants and the boots and the belt and the gun straps. It's kind of looking pretty good. Nolan North, the voice actor for Nathan, was seen on set in photos. And he is given a nod of approval in a tweet. He says, quote, like looking into a mirror. Proud to have Tom Holland continuing the Drake legacy. Absolutely smashing it. Thanks for the set visit. I don't know about you. I think it looks great.
Yeah, it does look good.
Like, I see people poo-pooing on it. But, like, this is an adaption. This isn't a shot for shot. Like, he doesn't look like Nathan Drake. So? Fucking Daniel Radcliffe doesn't look like Harry Potter. Emma Watson looks nothing like what Hermione Granger was supposed to look like. I'm using Harry Potter as an example because the first one that came into my head. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's an adaptation, you fucks. Like, that's how it works.
You clearly should have used the Mortal Kombat movie because none of those characters
look Mortal Kombat. Kylie Minogue was in that movie. I don't know anyone in Mortal Kombat looks like Kylie Minogue.
Or Street Fighter. The Street Fighter movies. No, was it?
You know what I mean? Like, that... Yeah. It's an adaption. So, like, his face doesn't really look like... No, you know why? Because he isn't. Oh, she was in Street Fighter. Damn it. I got it mixed up. I know she was in one of those weird... They just kind of mush together to weird movies for me. But, you know, that's the weird point. Like, his face cannot look like someone else's face. You know, granted, like, if they did that movie 6 years ago, like we originally heard it, yeah, he would look too young. You know, I mean, like... Fucking Tom Holland's in his mid-40s by now.
I don't know. Nathan Fillion still looks like Drake to me.
Of course he does, because they have very similar face structures, right? And that little short movie, brilliant. But he's too old. They can't run a franchise on Nathan Fillion. They can't.
No.
Tom Holland, they can. Now, granted, I still want to see Mark Wahlberg with a Sully mustache. That is when the movie will get its final tick for me. Because, you know, me, random fuck on the internet from Australia, I'm the one that gives it the final approval, according to me. You know, so like, Marky Mark, blonde hair, big mustache, smoking a cigar. That's when I know I'm like, this movie is the movie. But I don't think we'll see that. But I hope we do. I'm really quite excited for the movie, though. Like, but then again, I was excited for Assassin's Creed, and that movie was bumhole.
I mean, the good news is, you know, at least they might finish filming by the time we can actually go back to movie theaters.
Oh, shit, good point.
Let's talk some Beat Saber, Ryan.
Yeah.
So multiplayer has officially come to Beat Saber, but only on PC so far. In a couple of tweets, Studio Beat Games has apologized for the prolonged delay of the PSVR version of the multiplayer update. It now projects that the mode will become available in January, quote, if everything goes to plan. The tweets in question, quote, in a couple of tweets, quote, we will keep working on multiplayer for PS4 as fast as possible, along with exciting new music content on the way. Thank you, everyone, for your ongoing understanding, support, and patience in this. We really appreciate it. Now, I believe it has added multiplayer for up to 5 players. It sounds really cool, and it's a real shame that they haven't been able to wrinkle it out on PS4 yet. Hopefully, they can get it sorted by January, which is what they're projecting for. But I'd love to play that game I'd love to play multiplayer. I don't know what that looks like.
I presume online only. You know, duh.
You're definitely not like hot seating it, but
yeah, that'd be a bit gross.
What does that look like? Is it similar to that of when you play Rock Band online, where everyone has their own tracks of notes and you can see that? Are we seeing? If I look to the right, do I see my multiplayer opponent standing next to me going ham on his notes? As my notes are flying at me, I haven't actually looked to see what it looks like. Ryan, yeah, to find out.
Well, that has me intrigued as well. Yeah, how that integrates. Like, is it you and I looking at each other down the track, and then the tracks are coming at us? You know, sort of.
That would actually be cool. So, like,
is it like a tennis running? You know?
Yeah.
Like essentially, imagine, music
pong. Why isn't there a VR tennis game? I'd play that.
Even like music pong, you know what I mean? Like, we play the same track, and if you miss it, like, that counts, and it, you know?
That'd be pretty cool.
All right, let's get into those quick bits, Max. Let's wrap these newsy section up. Ghosts of Tsushima Legends Raid, as we discussed before, will be coming on the 30th, so that's in a week and a bit. Marvel's Spider-Man has released a new gameplay video showing off Miles' new combat prowess. There's a lot of news about Miles Morales over the last week, but it's mostly just expansion of what we already know. And I saw a cat with a Spider-Man mask on at some point. I thought it was interesting. Konami has also added that, the PS4 demo PT will not play on the PS5. So if you do happen to have it on your PS4, you cannot transfer it over. Destiny 2 Beyond Light will get has got a new story trailer, and that's out already. I don't know whether that's it. I assume that's good. You watched it yet, Max?
Nope.
And to add to Marvel Spider-Man, the PS5 costumes that will be available to the PS4 eventually. And of course, the top 10 best-selling games of the week are as follows. Still, somehow in the charts, even though no one's playing it, apparently. Number 10, Marvel's Avengers. Number 9 is the Mafia Trilogy. Number 8 is the Grand Theft Auto 5. Number 7, The Last of Us Part 2. 6, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2. Number 5 is The Ghost of Tsushima. Number 4 is Star Wars Squadrons. Number 3 is NBA 2K21. Well, number 2 is Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time. And in absolutely no surprise, number 1, EA Sports FIFA 21. Would you ever, there's no way that game would not be number 1 on its launch week.
Oh, I forgot to put it in the news, but did you hear that NBA 2K21's got live ads again?
Unskippable ones, which is gnarly.
Yeah, apparently they're not supposed to be there. There was this article written that it was for an event, because everyone was like, well, If they're in our loading areas, what's going to happen in PS5 when loading's almost instantaneous? Are we now just going to be blocked by an ad? Instead of a loading time, do we just have an ad to watch?
Pretty much.
Jeez.
Rough. Absolutely rough.
Well, Ryan, I'd love to read the drop, but there still is no new drop.
Is it literally still Star Wars Racer coming out this week?
It's still Star Wars Racer
coming
out
this week. God damn it. Look, side note, PlayStation, I know you're not watching, but if for any reason you do, what is going on with the drop? Like,
I missed the drop.
Are we looking in the wrong location? Is it somewhere else now? Like, it's important. Like, there are companies that release their games, and they already released to no fanfare on the store because of the mishandling of the PSN. Why not at least have this as a platform, right? Come on, fuck's going on? God damn it! All right, Max, did you pull up VG247 again?
Already have.
Shout out to VG247. Come through with the goods.
New games coming this week. We have Oh no, that's yesterday.
Yeah, it's already out though.
Yeah, Transformers Battlegrounds came out yesterday as time of recording. We have Trials of Cold Steel, October 27th. We have Ghost Runner, October 27th. We have Watch Dogs Legion coming out October 29th for current gen consoles and November 10th for next gen. We also have the Dark Pictures Anthology Little Hope coming out October 30th. And we have Transient October 30th. That's it, Ryan.
Well,
that's it.
Obviously, Watch Dogs Legion is on our list. I've reached out to Ubisoft, waiting here on that one. Same as Bandai for Little Hope. Cool little games I want to check out. It's probably my two picks for the week.
Mm.
But one thing that I've also spotted on the store this week, Max, I was having a look before. There's a little game. There's a little company that I love called Kairosoft. And they make a bunch of games for mobile devices that include Game Dev Story, Grand Prix Story. Like, there is real cool little semi management games. I noticed that they appeared on the Nintendo Switch eShop a couple of months ago. They're slowly dropping on the PSN. They're like $20, which is way, way more expensive than they should be. But I love those games on my phone. So I'm like, oh, maybe I can get back on there. Because, with me with my little hard on for management games like Cook Serve Delicious, which I played some more of this week, which I forgot to mention at the start of the show, just kick my asshole. Game is still so good, though. You need to play Cook Serve Delicious.
I do. I've got so many games.
That is me as boss man. Boss man.
All right, I will play Cook Serve Delicious. I'll download it tonight.
Yeah. What are you picking up next week?
I'll delete some stuff off my hard drive.
So is Watch Dogs and Dark Pictures sort of your two picks for the week as well?
I'm looking forward to A Little Hope.
Yep.
I wasn't a huge fan of Man of Medan. It didn't really...
Yeah, it's a bit lackluster. I never finished it, but yeah. I've re-downloaded it with the hopes of getting there. But
You mentioning... the other thing I played this week was the Halloween event for Call of Duty Warzone.
Oh, yeah?
Where when you die, you get to become a zombie.
Oh, mad.
It was mad. It was so good. It was well worth a 100 gig download to play once.
Yeah, Jesus. And Leatherface is in there as this Jigsaw?
Leatherface and Jigsaw are skins. They are purchasable skins.
Oh, okay.
To go in as, so you get to play them. But yeah, basically, instead of going to the gulag and winning a 1v1 in the prison to respawn, you just become a zombie. If you get two kills, you're back. And then if you die again, you re-zombify. If you get another two kills, you're back. It's really good.
Do you get guns as a zombie, or do you literally have
to... So as a zombie, you get the equivalent of a super jump, so you can leap tall buildings in a single bound. You get a gas grenade, and you get an EMP pulse, so they can't heartbeat sensor you while they're camping at the top of stairs.
Mad.
It's really fun.
Awesome.
I'm really bad at Call of Duty now, having not played for so long.
Yeah.
But it was good fun.
I played the beta again. I think it was this week. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I played it again. Yeah. I love it. I'm totally in. Even though
saw that positive KD that you dropped and sent photo to.
Yeah, like 2.6. What the fuck? That never happens. And then I'm gonna play the full release and get monstered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. That's
how it always happens.
Let's wrap this bad boy up, Max. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
This PlayStation Conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Spotify, and 9 a.m. on YouTube. If you'd like to take part in future conversations, please check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, Twitter. All of our links in the description below.
But yeah, no, come check us out on Twitter, man. We have a lot of fun on Twitter. It's good. Our handles are right below us. It's at HaggardMC. Max is at BePossessed101. If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculture where you can watch us record this show live. We can be in the chat and you can see Puck correct me in real time when I get the movies that Kylie Minogue was in wrong. I really appreciate it. Puck is always our fact checker. I really appreciate it. It's actually really handy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a great time to have it on Twitch. It's awesome. We do this every Saturday at 4 p.m. on Australian Eastern Time. I stream on there. Max, we still have to get you to stream on there, but if you ever want to, you can, I guess. If not, we do all the shows there at least. And of course, if you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. As I mentioned at the start of the show, we're right on the cusp of next gen. We really would like this show to be out there, to be a bit more out there. I've exhausted everything I know about how to promote a podcast, how to get it out there, because there's so many podcasts. It's tough to make headroom for people and how to promote it. And there's only like four of us. There's only four PlayStation podcasts made in Australia. So, help a brother out. Get us out there. Tell your friends, anyone that does excited for PlayStation, give it a bell. Now's a good time. But of course, if you're listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. That's Apple Podcasts and Spotify. As I mentioned, we're also now available on SoundCloud as a testing bed. We'll see how that goes. And YouTube, youtube.com/thepopculturist, where you can leave a comment, you can subscribe. It gives all a thumbs up. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can. Patreon.com/thepopculture, as well as our merchandise store, popculture.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Speaking of next gen, we should get some PS5 designs in there. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we'll make it happen. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. For the Players, the Pop Culturist PlayStation podcast is fan-supported at patreon.com/thepopculturist. And we'd like to thank our Patreon producers and our Patreon founders for their kindness, their support, and their generosity. Our Patreon founders, Alpha Ferret, Craig O'Flaherty, David Chataway, Jesse Stevenson, and Jacob Garner. And our Patreon producers, Damien Holdies, Lee Winterchauvin, Sean Levitt, and Solomon Barak.